excited to talk about Pokemon this week, finally. I've only been playing it for, like, 3 weeks now, it feels like. So, that'll be nice. Everyone seems to like Pokemon.
Yeah. It's not really funny, is it?
No. It's funny when the Pokemons, they're, like, gonna get you. It's funny how they fight each other, but they just faint, huh? It's funny how in Pokemans, they live in little balls. It's like you're capturing them and they're prisoners. It's funny how in the Pokemans, one kid has like 10 legendary one-of-a-kind Pokemons. Some of them of godlike status. It's funny how in the Pokemans...
Yeah?
Is anything funny yet? Hello, and welcome to the Exploding Barrel Podcast for October 16th, 2013. This is Mike Minotti, and I'm joined by my brother, Ajguy.
Hello.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
Good. So, yeah, we're going to have a fun show. Last couple weeks, we haven't talked about much about what we've been playing, because it was Pokemon, and there's a big NDA for it. That was scary.
Like, seriously, I think if you would have talked about it early, like when you had a child, Nintendo would have come and taken it away.
Right. So, we can finally talk about Pokemon, X and Y. But there's been some other events happening news-wise, some things, and I got a new video card, actually, so I've been doing some PC gaming, that's been fun, and some fun next-gen stuff to talk about here, so let's get, right to it, then.
Alright.
So, what do you want when you start? Can we start with Kingdom Hearts?
Yes, I figured you'd want to.
Because, interestingly enough, the D23 Expo, which is like, it's like Disney's kind of little fan convention.
And it's like PAX for Disney, almost.
Yeah, and they've done it in the United States. It's like a biannual thing. But they did the first one in Japan this year. You know, it's kind of weird, because like, the big announcements so far have been like Avatar Land in Disney World, which doesn't affect Japan at all.
And Iron Man Experience in Hong Kong.
Right, yeah.
Nothing for Japan.
Yeah, it sucks in.
Except
they showed off some Kingdom Hearts stuff. Super exciting for me is... As we kind of thought, there is a Kingdom Hearts 2.5. So like how Kingdom Hearts 1.5 was an HD collection of Kingdom Hearts 1 Final Mix and Re-Code of Memories, or Chain of Memories, sorry.
Yeah.
And then like all the cinematics from the 358 over...
2.
I memorized the number finally because I watched the stupid movie and I already forget it again. But yeah, so this one is Kingdom Hearts 2, the Final Mix, which again, we never got over here in HD. The Birth by Sleep Final Mix, which you never got, which was a PSP game, and now that's going to be in HD. And the cutscenes from Recoded, which was the DS version of the mobile game.
Yeah.
So, really cool, because...
Pretty good pack, because, Chain of Memories is kind of like this weird sort of derivative spin-off-y thing, but...
Yeah, this gets good.
Birth by Sleep
is like a full-on Kingdom Hearts game.
Right, just without... Sora in it.
Yeah, it's a prequel.
Mickey and Donald and Goofy.
It's cool. Well, Mickey's in it, actually. But it's cool because it was a good game, but a lot of people may not have gotten to play because, you know, it was on the PSP. A lot of people don't have PSPs here. Also, like, now you can play it with, you know, dual analog sticks and a real controller. Like, it's funny how much I hate the PSP analog nub, because I don't mind the 3DS analog nub.
Well, it's more of a slider.
Like, well, that's what the thing that slides, that PSP.
Well, and it's still that thing, too, that Sony did forever with their analog sticks, where they were, like, convex instead of concave, so your thumb slid off it.
Yeah, it was very weird. But, no, it's super cool that there's going to be a console version of Birth by Sleep. There probably should have been a while ago.
Yeah.
And
it's funny that my almost disappointment with this is that it won't just come out on Vita.
Yeah, it's funny.
Like, I'd rather just have it on my Vita.
Also, Kingdom Hearts 2, that's, like, my favorite game in this series. I love Kingdom Hearts 2. So
maybe I'll finally beat it. Yeah. I've never beat it.
There you go. HD version. Well, that's kind of the neat thing now is that you can get these two collections and
get pretty caught up.
You'll be able to catch up on everything except for the 3DS one, which is kind of still newer. So they're not going to compile it.
Maybe that'll come to Wii U.
Yeah, but that was kind of my thing. Was like, man, if you wanted to like know the Kingdom Hearts story, the systems you would have needed, like a PS2, a PSP, a Game Boy Advance, a 3DS, it was kind of a mess.
Yeah.
So it's kind of nice that like you get a PlayStation 3 and pretty much get caught up on everything except for
the 3DS one
right now, which, hey, go get a 3DS. I don't know. Code, it's weird because I was wondering what they would do for Coded, and it makes sense just to do the cutscenes. Coded's not Coded is even less. It's definitely the less of all the games. Like I said, it was originally a mobile game. Mm-hmm. It was like
pre-iPhone.
Yeah, it was like a pre-iPhone mobile game. And then they made a DS version, which was probably better than it should have been. But still, it's kind of... And, like, the plot of it, it like, takes place after 2, but it's, like, Mickey and, like, Donald Goofy, they make a digital Sora, and they're, like, going through this code.
Oh, I remember kind of that now, yeah.
And if I remember correctly, there was, like, surprisingly a couple things that were important to the overall story brought up in there, which surprised me. Basically, it was kind of, like, a lead-up into the 3DS one. But, yeah, so that's cool. So I'm excited, hopefully we'll get these. I know they said this year in Japan, I don't know how much longer, for us. I was really surprised, though, the day after that, they actually showed gameplay for Kingdom Hearts 3.
Really surprising, because, like, after E3...
They, like, really downplayed.
Like, he's like, we probably shouldn't have said anything, it's way too early. That wasn't even in-game, it was all pre-viz. Right. Which makes me wonder if this was pre-viz or actual in-game. Did they say?
It looked pretty... It looked
well.
Like
it's
game.
It's easy to do the thing where you take in-game assets and like it's pre-rendered.
Yeah, but it didn't look. It looked like they're fighting. Because I mean, Sora was missing people with his attacks and stuff.
Yeah,
you know, I think it was real. But it looked real good. I'm glad to see like you know it's a classic Sora with Donald and Goofy thing. What was a couple like new things? Like at one point, Sora kind of had like guns out, which was
interesting. Like key guns or something.
And then like there was like a summon that was almost like a theme park ride. It was like the pirate swinging ship kind of thing.
Yeah,
and it almost looked like a parade float, like a Main Street Electrical parade float with all the lights on it.
And then the other one looked like a car from Big Thunder Mountain Railroad.
It was going around the Rock Titan from Hercules,
which was pretty cool.
It was neat, huh? So, but yeah, that looks cool. So it's cool that we actually got to see. So maybe that's further along than we thought. I don't know. I kind of thought we...
I feel so confused, Square.
I thought we weren't going to see anything of Kingdom Hearts 3
like for
years.
For
a couple years. I was like, oh, they're showing this video. Again, part of me thinks that... I think that they're, like, working pretty hard to get Kingdom Hearts 3 out when they can. Like, I think they realize
they left a lot of money on the table by not releasing a proper Kingdom Hearts game for this entire console generation, which was a pretty long console generation.
Well, I'm sure like they kept thinking like once he finishes Versus
13, we'll get right on that.
And I was like, what the hell's happening? Like, okay, fine, it's 15, and guess what? You're making Kingdom Hearts at the same time now. Deal with it.
Yeah.
But no, that was all very cool. All right, what else do you want to talk about?
Since we're talking about Square, this is quick, but I just find it amusing. They talk about how they're going to do first the Final Fantasy IV 3D sequel thing for iPhone and Android.
That no one liked, I thought, after years.
Then they're going to do 6 in the style that they did 5. I don't like the redrawn sprites.
No.
The redrawn enemy art looks good. In 5,
weird.
But the sprites just look
I don't know
wrong.
Why you mess with that, because the sprites are great.
Yeah.
If you're not going to, like, do, like, a 3D reimagining of it, don't touch the sprites.
Yeah.
Leave it alone.
Yeah. But then, they said, like, yeah, we'd probably go on to, like, 7, 8, and 9. And I was like, okay, cool. Well, then, like, now they're like, well, it'll take a while, like, years. And their justification is that it's too big.
I don't get that. How can a 1997 game. I understand it was a JRPG and there's a lot of stuff to it and it was 4 discs, but I mean, you have like freaking XCOM on an
iPad
now.
Exactly. Knights of the Old Republic is on the iPad.
Yeah, exactly. KOTOR's on the iPad. Come on.
You can get Final Fantasy VII.
It's gotta be maybe it's a big file, fine, but I mean, come on. Yeah, that seems weird to me.
Yeah, I thought that was, like, of all the reasons you could give, that's the one.
Yeah, it's too big.
That's the easiest one to overcome. I don't know. That company, man, I don't get them.
I still think there's just some... I refuse to believe that these Japanese developers are as dumb as they sound. It must just be translation, because they always say stupid things.
Yeah, like, really stupid things.
Like, they recently, like, they're talking up... Nintendo guys were talking about a Zelda movie. Like, oh, if we made a Zelda movie, we want people to bring in their 3DSs and interact with it. I'm like, what?
Well, that's kind of hard to lose in translation.
Yeah, I guess, but I'm like, what is... That would be so dumb. No, movie's a movie, game's a game. You know? I'm not bringing my 3DS to the theater and be like, oh, what should Link do now? Like, it's fucking Dora the Explorer. Like, what the... God. I mean, they probably say we won't do a Zelda movie, but if we did, no.
No.
God.
Speaking of Zelda, they did have the new trailer that introduced Lo-Rule.
Punnerific.
It's almost too... Zelda, it's Hilda. It's like, come on, really? That's the best...
Yeah, whatever.
I mean, the game's gonna be fun. It's not like I play Zelda for the story, but God.
There's like the female Ganondorf thingy.
So shouldn't Hilda be a boy then?
Well, I don't know why there's a female Ganondorf, because Ganondorf doesn't even exist in Link to the Past.
Yeah. And then the trailer also very pointedly showed him pulling out the Master Sword, which I thought was supposed to sleep forever.
Well, maybe he pulled it out of low rule. Maybe it's
the servant sword.
The servant sword. I don't know. Yeah, I saw it too. Like, I thought the Master Sword slept forever. What the hell is this bullshit?
Having said that, that game looks phenomenal. Yeah, I can't wait to play it.
Yeah, I'm very excited about it. But it's, I actually kind of like how, like, it has cutscenes.
Yeah.
Know? It's kind of neat. What else do we talk about? Watch Dogs? Are we talking about that now?
Yeah. So Watch Dogs delayed, along with, what's that other big Ubisoft game? The Club. The Club, yeah.
Yeah.
The Club? The Crew? Something with a C.
The other one.
Yeah.
The one that wasn't Watch Dogs. But Watch Dogs is a big hit.
Well, they both were delayed. Apparently, their stock took a 25% nosedive. Well, that's significant.
Those are hurtful delays because you're missing holiday season and the launch of the systems. Mm-hmm. And apparently also Splinter Cell and Rayman did not meet their projections. Well, I want to say, didn't Rayman Origins not reach projections either? So I don't know what their projections were this time. But
I still feel like they would have been better off to release the Wii U version on time.
Maybe.
Because that was been the only thing people bought for the Wii U.
Would have helped.
Now, like, you've gotten to the point, I feel with the Wii U, that like people are just so apathetic to the system, like, they may not even have occurred to them, like, go buy that game. I don't know.
Maybe.
I'm kind of shooting from the hip, but...
No, it kind of sucks, though, because that was kind of, like, the big, like, that was, like, the obvious. That's the one
that was the one, like...
Let's watch it.
Yeah, that, like...
Everyone's excited. Well,
and in fact, you know how, like, retailers do the, like, fake bundles at a console launch to kind of control inventory?
Yeah, a lot of them had Watch Dogs.
Yeah, so, like, I know Amazon said, like, I guess they're you're not losing your place in line, you're still getting your PS4, I assume they're still keeping your pre-order for Watch Dogs active, and then once it comes out, you just get it. And Amazon doesn't charge you for stuff till it ships, so congratulations, you got a normal PS4 pre-order, I guess.
It hurts both launches, though. Mm-hmm. And I wonder if we're going to see other things drive. There's a rumor that Drive Club might be next, which it makes sense. You haven't really heard much about that.
Right.
And for a game that's coming out next month, eh.
Now, you know what this made me realize, though? So, I guess I could kind of tie this into the community question.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we can go to that.
Because we asked people with Watch Dogs gone, kind of,
if you can get one next gen game at launch, combining both, which one will you get? Do you want me to go through the answers, or you want to answer first?
Well, go through. I need to think about that, actually.
Well, Jeff Grubb said that Watch Dogs was the easy answer, and now he says Peggle 2, which I'm not going to make fun of him for. This is kind of a tangent. I think I brought this up before. I never understand people who... Well, I don't want to say I don't understand, but I never understand how you get excited about something like a Peggle 2 or a Plants vs. Zombies 2. I can understand people who like those games, but I can't... I have a hard time being like, oh, man.
Like, if it was a box product, Peggle, you would not be at the midnight sale.
Exactly. You know, that's what I... Like, I would... There's no such thing for me as...
anticipation.
Hype. Yeah, there's no anticipation.
It's like, oh, yeah, I'll play Peggle.
It's like, oh, look, Star Wars Angry Birds is out. Now it's got Star Wars. Okay, fine.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I mean, that's fine. I understand. I get people like these games, and I like them too occasionally. Obviously, I'm not, like, as high on this stuff as other people, but, like, yeah. Like, I remember, like, some people were, like, when they showed, like, I think it was when they announced Peggle 2. Everyone's like, oh, my God, Peggle 2. I'm like, yeah, I bet you drop balls on things. But, okay, that's fine. But really, Peggle 2 out of every... Okay, come on. Come on, Jeff. Come on. Jay Loretta said Killzone now, because he liked 2 and 3. I think it will be a good graphical showpiece. It'll be a good showpiece for the graphics and for the online stuff, so I can kind of see
PlayStation 4 being
a good choice. He also said something. He's excited to play Res Zero Gun. What is this?
Rezogun. I was going to bring this up.
Is this a PlayStation Plus game you just get for free?
Yes, it is.
I don't know what this is.
It's from the guys who made Super Stardust.
Oh, this is their thing.
But it's kind of a take on Defender. You remember Defender, where it was like... the Grim Grimoire game you played? Or Maramusa?
I didn't play Maramusa. You mean Odin Sphere?
Odin Sphere. That's one. You know how it does that thing where it's like it's
2D like a
plane, but it keeps circling?
Yeah.
That's what Defender is. That's what this is.
Okay.
The game uses a voxel engine. It's volumetric pixels, so...
Okay.
And there's apparently millions of them on screen. I actually haven't seen footage of this game, but everyone says it looks stunning.
Alex Conley said if he was in the race, Killzone 4, he says he's really only excited for a game called Helldivers, which is coming next year and also coming to Vita. Which one's Helldivers?
I don't know.
I've heard of it. I can't remember right now. So basically, a lot of people kind of saying Killzone, I guess.
Yeah, that, I mean, I guess when you think about it,
because I mean
both like yeah, Battlefield and Call of Duty will be present as shooters for each console. But that's the only one that's like, you know, a console exclusive FPS.
Yeah, it's the only one. I mean, Microsoft's big console exclusive launch game is what it's. We said this last week. Is there something besides Rise?
Well, Forza.
Yeah, but that's kind of like a racing. The racing genre doesn't appeal to everyone. Kind of like the first person shooter genre.
Right, right. It's not quite as mainstream.
Like I like Forza. Am I going to buy Forza? I don't know. So I can get Killzone.
I guess the other big exclusive that's going to have some mass appeal for the Xbox One is going to be Dead Rising 3.
Is that a launch?
Launch and exclusive.
Is it?
Okay, that's. I guess. I know you're kind of burned out on zombies, and so am I. Yeah, I know. But
it's an open world zombie game. I get
that
it.
People will like.
Is that really a launch game?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know.
Yeah, it has like a day one edition and everything.
Well, I mean, for me, I'm still leaning heavily towards Knack. I still want to see some like reviews and stuff, but I'm still kind of looking forward to that. But right now, if I had to get one right now, I'd probably just get Assassin's Creed 4. My concern is like how next genny is it going
to
really be?
I saw some tech video where they tried to show it. Basically, comes down to lighting and some particle effects.
Yeah, I mean,
things.
Basically, comes down to I know I like Assassin's Creed. It's kind of a sure thing for me,
right?
If and I, you know, you're not going to get Watch Dogs. Your next open world game, I guess, is going to be Assassin's Creed. Yeah, so that would be the one right now.
I mean, for me, it does come down between. I'll cop out a little bit. If it's PS4, it's Killzone. If it's Xbox One, for me, it's Forza. And
would you get the console version of Battlefield?
Yeah. That'd probably be a launch buy for me.
Because that kind of got messed up for me because I just got a new video card. GTX 760 runs very nice. Because I think I thought about it last week. I tried to run the Battlefield 4 beta, and I just got mad how badly it was running. So I like upgraded my system. I barely touched Battlefield 3. I don't know why. I just didn't. I didn't
you have
care.
It, right?
I have it now. I just didn't care.
It better look good.
Yeah. Well, not as good as 4 now. Yeah. But I just didn't care. So, but the Battlefield 4 beta, man, was that fun.
Yeah, it's great.
It was, and I mean, it looked good. And the map that they have, that is such a good
map.
It's
a great
map.
It's a really great map. It's kind of
sort of symmetrical, which I like, you know?
Yeah, but not, like, the layout of the points are symmetrical, but each point is unique in the way it's laid out.
Exactly.
So I mean, honestly, each capture point in that map is, like, a map in any other shooter, almost.
Yeah,
exactly. Maybe not quite as big,
I know what you mean.
You know?
And it's kind of cool, there's this dynamic of, like, using elevators and parachutes.
Yeah, it's a very vertical game.
And you have that one in the middle, and it collapses. It's, you know, it's
that's
thing.
Exciting
it's,
every
it's
time.
It's cool.
Well, then, like I said, I played it on my computer. I could run it at medium settings. Mm-hmm. Seeing it on your computer, when that building comes out, like all the haze.
Yeah, it's like
and
the map is like
dust.
Hazy for,
and,
it's so cool.
Oh my God. It looks so good.
That's cool.
You did this amazing thing where you jumped out of a helicopter, parachuted down, slid off a glass roof into a guy's face, and shot him. Yeah. And I was like, oh!
It was really cool.
I wonder what that guy saw.
It really did bring because I liked Battlefield 1942 a lot. I played Vietnam a bit, and then 2 I didn't really get into, and I didn't play the future one. I didn't play 3, but like playing this, I like had all these flashbacks.
We played a lot of 43.
Yeah, I guess I had flashbacks to 1942 though, and how much fun that was. Mm-hmm. My God, this is great. I love
it.
So I think I'm. But now like I said like I want to get that now, but.
Yeah, crap, do you get it
I'll
on
just,
your
just get it
console?
For PC.
Or,
I mean,
yeah.
It's not going to look better.
But we can't play together.
It'll be fine. But, Battlefield, I think, is going to be pretty nice. I'm still wondering. It still seems like no one really cares about Call of Duty this generation.
Yeah, like, but the thing is, you know it's going to come out and sell like a hajillion copies.
Is it, though?
It always does.
I think it's going to be down this time. It's got to be.
Well, and that's what everyone said, and then Black Ops 2 outsold every other one. Everyone
this
said
be
that before Black Ops 2 came out.
Yeah, but this is the first time in a while that...
It's like a new one.
Yeah, although Black Ops did fine with that. But Black Ops was easier to sell. It kind of made sense. I don't like people understood what that meant.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone knows what ghosts mean.
There's a dog.
They know
that's
you have
about
a
it.
Yeah, they know you have a dog. But I'm interested to see. But it's different because there still was like the commercials and the hype and all that stuff for... Black Ops 2? No, there doesn't seem to be anything.
The Battlefield 4 commercial, have you seen that one?
Yeah, there's a lot
it's
of...
It's really well done. The one I'm talking about where it's like
people talking,
telling you,
yeah.
Kind of like what we just did with your parachute thing.
Yeah,
I like that commercial.
We almost just did a commercial, basically.
Yeah, but I think it's a smart commercial.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. Should I just talk about more of my video card
experience? Yeah, since we're on it.
Yeah, but I mean, you know what?
What's the best looking game you think you've thrown on this thing now? Battlefield is pretty good.
I'm a sucker for the games that just kind of like, they look really good and like the frame rate. That's the thing I love most, is like that consistent, smooth frame rate. And that's what I kind of, that's my big thing with these next gen systems. That's what I expect. I want that to look like that. Like, I threw Bioshock Infinite for a second and I'm like, oh, that looks good.
I didn't see that yet.
Yeah, we put in, Metro Last Light and just like to mess around. Oh, that looks nice.
That game is pretty.
But it's funny because, you know what, one of my favorite games I play right now and like looks great is Mirror's Edge, which came out 2009. I guess it's something about like that simplistic style.
Yeah, it's gonna age well.
Yeah, it's aged so well. I mean, it's just gorgeous looking, especially when the everything is like super smooth and just super crisp. That game looks good.
Mm-hmm.
But like Final Fantasy 14 for an MMO, oh my god, that game can look good. I'm like, cool, because like the area I'm in is like this kind of like dramatic snowy landscape.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, that's awesome. But no, I'm very excited about my video card. I feel kind of silly upgrading right when I'm about to get a new next gen system. It's gonna suck if like PlayStation 4 games don't look as good as my computer games.
Yeah, now like, you've done it.
Whoops. But no, I've been super happy playing around with all that stuff.
I threw a lot of mods at Skyrim on your computer.
You did, and it looks good.
I overdo it?
The one you did, this lighting mod, which is like realistic lighting. It's not that realistic because like it's too extreme. Like I'm in outdoor areas, and it's like sometimes it's just pitch black and like these very weird pockets. And it's like, well, there's moonlighting. I mean, there should be something here. I should be able to see a little.
I'll take that off.
But no, I mean it's cool. I do like. I kind of have a hard time. I always try to get back into Skyrim. I always have a hard time with it.
Yeah.
It's like once, I think it's just like you hit that point in your character where nothing's hard anymore.
It's true. Skyrim just hit a point where it's like gets really easy.
Yeah, exactly.
You could always turn the difficulty up, I guess.
Yeah, but I mean, that's the kind of thing. Like nothing's hard to do anymore. I think it's almost combined with everything's easy. And sort of like the quick save, quick load thing almost kind of hurts things sometimes. It's almost too easy. Especially when like you get to a lockpick, you get to a master thing, what do? A quick save in case you run out of lockpicks and you just try again.
Yeah, you're right.
You know what I mean? It's like,
yeah,
it's
again, like, that's that whole argument that it comes down to discipline.
It's like you can't. You see, kind of go back into Zelda, but like the Anna Moore guy's like talking about how they want to do less hand holding. I'm like, whoa, I'm shocked.
Yeah,
cool.
Yeah, that's amazing.
All right, well, it's funny because he's like, oh, we read people's reactions to Skyward Sword. And it seems like, you know, maybe things are getting a little stale, so we're gonna switch things up. Like, oh, that's cool. Although I love Skyward Sword, and I'm like, it's so. I think everyone like has heard about like the Zelda cycle now, where like the newest Zelda is always like the lame one.
Mm-hmm.
They have to wait for the new one to come. I can't wait for like the next Zelda to come out, so it's cool to like Skyward Sword.
Yeah, Twilight Princess never got that.
Oh, are you kidding me? You haven't noticed?
No.
Oh, it happened.
Oh, it happens.
Twilight Princess is so cool right now.
Oh, I didn't know that.
That's why it's hilarious. Yeah, as soon as Skyward Sword came out, everyone's going on about how great Twilight Princess is. No, it's hilarious because everyone hated Twilight Princess when it came out.
Never beat that one.
It's good. The ending's cool.
I saw the ending.
But yeah, the big thing with Twilight Princess is I just wish
controller.
No, the control thing, fine. It didn't bother me. In fact, the Skyward Sword, I love the motion controls. It's like the one time where that like worked for me.
Oh yeah, that was like the promise finally fulfilled.
Yeah, exactly.
It's at like the one end Wii of game. The console cycle.
Yeah, but no, Twilight Princess, I just didn't like being that wolf. Like every time you're that wolf, I'm like, ugh. I wish.
Yeah.
Okay, now we're talking about Twilight Princess. When you think about it, it's a game we never talked about on this show much because I came in 2006, a year before we started recording. So.
Mm-hmm.
There's still more hints about Majora's Mask remake too, which would be cool. You know what else there's hints about? It's kind of jumping ahead, but in Pokemon XY, which I kind of noticed this, but like apparently there's a lot more of it. There are constant references to Ruby and Sapphire.
Oh yeah,
which leading a lot of people to think that it's going to get a remake next.
Oh cool,
which would be kind of it makes sense because
that'd be cool. They did like this is okay. So let's transition to the Pokemans.
Okay.
Again, this is jumping ahead, but now that we have this kind of new Pokemon engine.
Mm-hmm.
I would not mind getting like a Ruby and Sapphire remake, and well, not you can't do Gold Silver. They just did it, but even
well, they won't do the original. They'll do Ruby and Sapphire because that's like the next one to remake, and they'll remake those, and it'll be in like that 3D engine. It'll be pretty cool.
Yeah,
those are like the ones I kind of remember the least in a lot of ways.
Yeah, it's weird.
You know, that was the starters for that
you,
one.
You when you said it, I was like the remake, and you're like, no, that was Fire Red and Leaf Green.
Yeah, you thought Ruby and Sapphire were the remakes. I was like, no.
I got confused.
They were the Game Boy Advance ones. And that was like the first time, too, I remember when it was like they showed the graphics for it. Like, well, that's the best they could do.
Yeah, right.
But what were the starters? The starters for that one was Traco, who sucked. He was like the little green leaf lizard guy. Torchic, who was clearly everyone's favorite.
Who you can get right now.
You can get right now. And Mudkip. Everyone liked Mudkip, too, I think. But they weren't, like, the best set of starters. And the legendaries were, like, the big red dinosaur and, like, the whale thing.
Oh, yeah, they were dumb.
And then there were also, like, two birds that were just, like, looked exactly the same. The one was red, the one was blue.
Mm-hmm.
I remember it had a lot of legendary Pokemon. The new one only has, like, the three new legendary Pokemon. Like, the 200
boxes. Aren't the three birds in it?
Yeah, they are. I ran into them. I ran into Zapdos. Before you can even catch him, he just runs away, so there's nothing to do. I can track him now because I ran into him, but like I can't do anything when I
Well, there are some Pokemon that have abilities that prevent a Pokemon from running away.
Yeah, but
Sleep it or something, I guess. Anyway, let's go back. Let's talk about Pokemon X and Y.
Pokemon X and Y, I've been playing it for a while because I reviewed it, and I'm like, I've got a good chunk in, I beat it, and I'm doing...
Yeah, I'm like, I just got... Is it which gym badge is Lumiose City? Is that the fourth one?
You mean the one inside the tower?
Yeah. That's the fourth one, right?
Something like that.
Yeah.
The guy, the kid. What type was he? Was he electric?
Electric, yes.
Yeah, yeah. So, first off, the visual upgrade is nice.
Finally.
It's a little weird at first, how, like, when you use the D-pad and you don't get the roller skates, it's still, like, that it's eight-directional movement, which I guess is new, because before it was just four. But you're like, why isn't this just full analog? But then you get the roller skates, and then you can do the whole analog thing. Mm-hmm. You kind of get over it. But it is nice, and it's super nice, like, the battles, like, it's fully animated, like, every Pokemon has unique animations. It's a nice touch, finally, after all that. Besides that, though, I mean, it's Pokemon.
Yeah.
Very much. There's a lot of little nice touches. Like, I like that you get experience for catching a Pokemon now.
Yeah, yeah.
I like that it, like, shows you if you caught the Pokemon already. I think that's actually been there before.
It's funny, because I appreciate all that stuff, like the XP on catches and the XP share.
Yeah.
Did you read their reasoning for it, though?
What?
Again, this is one of those Japanese developers sounding kind of dumb.
Yeah.
With smartphones and all this other stuff, kids these days, they just have too much going on, and they don't play as much video games as they used to, so we had to speed it up.
I mean, still, okay, whatever.
If that were the problem, that kids don't play enough video games, I don't think that'd be a problem.
Whatever. I mean, it does reduce the need to grind a little bit. Yeah. That's what they're trying to get at. Whatever.
The Pinner Kid is actually pretty funny.
Yeah, Pinner Kid was funny. It was a funny Pokemon-themed one. But I mean, you know, it's still, and when I wrote my review, like, I was critical about, like, maybe this would have been a good time to experiment more, maybe we shouldn't have done, like, the three starters, and it's water, fire, green.
Yeah, could you imagine how crazy it would be if they were like, choose a starter, here's an electric, a rock, and a fighting, or something.
Yeah, like, I mean, there's so many more types now, like, pick, like, you know, why not, or just... It's not like a setup that's a little different than the eight gym leaders.
Especially
thing.
Because they did give you the original starters like an hour later.
Right, and it's kind of introduced the Mega Evolutions. And like the Mega Evolutions thing, it's not so much good or bad to me. It just kind of seems like it's there.
So you have Pokemon Y.
Yeah.
And so there are two, I believe, two unique Mega Evolutions for Charizard and Mewtwo.
Yeah, they're like the only ones, which are weird.
Now, in your version, when either them Mega Evolve, it just boosts their stats. So, like, why wouldn't you do it every time?
Yeah.
But for me, it changes their types.
Well, see, yeah, and I get
now
that.
Now it's interesting,
but that's,
I think,
like, the only case of that.
Right. So, like, it's like there was this glimmer of a really cool idea. Mm-hmm. Because one of the problem with playing Pokemon with your friends is it just becomes this game of type advantage.
Yeah,
but now when you throw Mega Evolutions into that, you really start screwing with that. Because, you know, my Charizard's Flying Fire. If you throw out a Raichu, and I'm like, oh, shit, well, I can Mega Evolve to turn the flying, the dragon, and defeat that weakness.
You know what another change I think they need to make? I think Pokemon need to have more than four move slots.
Yeah.
Because there's
so many junk moves in the game.
There's so many
now.
Junk moves. There's so many, like, you have to have an HM slot for this. And, like, Pokemon are, like, all Pokemon are, like, at least two types
now. At least
now.
It's less reliant on HMs.
It is. Yeah, yeah, you know what?
You still really need Fly and Surf.
I was surprised.
Cut's not required. It just gets you stuff.
Yeah, Cut is not used nearly as much. I remember the one, I think it was Ruby Sapphire, you had Surf, Waterfall, and Whirlpool. So, like, your water Pokemon just had to know three HMs.
Like, oh my god. But then the thing is, like you said, so I'm raising a Pikachu. Guess what moves it's going to use? Thunderbolt and Thunder.
Yeah. It's like, and, you know, and they have some, like, moves sometimes that, like, I don't know, they're auxiliary moves, but you don't want to waste a slot on them because they're so situational, like when you would ever use them.
Yeah.
Like, some moves just have bizarre steps, like moves like, oh, the Pokemon has to be asleep, and then you can do this. I'm like, okay. Well, most Pokemon fights, they really... You feel kind of bad if it takes more than two turns, you know?
Yeah, because if you're not killing it in the first turn, you're doing it wrong.
Right, exactly.
Or at least that's how I always feel.
Mm-hmm. And I will say, I don't like... I think Black and White was better. Black and White wowed me a bit more. Yeah. And I know graphically not so much, because Black and White...
And, that, and what's funny is, I never finished Black and White. It completely lost me. I don't know why. Mm-hmm. I think it was a combination of... Because, I mean, the gameplay in this one still hasn't changed. But at least the presentation has changed enough to keep me interested. And Black and White still was too much of the old presentation.
I get that, but Black and White 2... I mean, Black and White 2, just Black and White. I didn't really like Black and White 2. I thought that was kind of a weird thing to do. But Black and White, I liked that there was an attempt at a story that actually had some kind of meaning. Like, there is something in this. There's like a quote-unquote story, but it's dumb. It's super fluff. Actually, it's more like the former one.
What I really like, actually, about the story in this one, less the story, more the setup, I guess. I like how it's a whole group of kids from your town.
Yeah, that's fun. Because
you feel like you're kind of going on this adventure with other people.
No, that's...
Like, the way you all kind of meet up and...
That's fine, but I'm not really talking about that.
But I'm just saying, for some reason,
there was
I really like that.
There was, like, that plot in the last one where it was, like...
The morality.
I was like, and I thought that was kind of interesting. One thing I missed too, it's silly, but like in Black and White, when you were in like a gym battle or an important battle and the other guys was down to one Pokemon, the music would get really dramatic. I loved that. It would play the Pokemon theme. I kind of missed that a little bit.
Right.
But then there's other things they add which are like, you know, they're nice, like the Pokemon Ami or whatever you pronounce it as, where it's like you play mini games and make your Pokemon like you. Like, I only did it because, like, you have to do it to get Eevee's new evolution.
Right, right.
And there's, like, the super training, which, it's a
stupid mini game, but you want to max out your Pokemon soon, so you gotta play it.
And I guess, like, that's super important for people who, like, really do hardcore, like, battling online.
Yeah, because you need those stats. Now, what they've done to the online system is pretty damn good.
Yeah, it's very nice. I mean, Black and White did some of this, where a lot of it's just on the bottom screen, and it's just, you know, beat by people, it shows you who's near you.
Didn't you still have to go to, like, an online lobby or something to initiate anything?
It's fun, because I don't really remember.
Yeah, see, with this one, like, I mean, literally, if we're both online, I'll just see your icon light up, my friends list, I tap you, and I could click trade or battle, and it just does it.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's, like, these O-ring powers you could, like, confer on your friends or use on yourself, but it's cheaper. There's, like, an energy pool. It costs less to pass on your friends. The only goof thing, I think there's more limitation to the 3DS, but if you're connected to the internet and you put the system to sleep, when you open it, it's like, whoa! Like, this big warning screen comes up. Where'd the internet go? Oh, my God! The signal's down, man! I'm like, just cool. Fucking reconnect!
It's cool.
It's all right!
I just closed the lid. Maybe the 2DS won't have that problem.
Hey, no, it has a slot, like a slider.
To go to sleep.
For sleep.
Yeah.
Like the Wi-Fi switch.
I wonder if they have those, like, in kiosks. I want to try one of those. I guess they're out, right?
Yeah, it is out.
It's a thing.
It does exist. It is a thing.
Wonder how those will sell.
But like I said, I think between the fact that I didn't even touch Black and White 2, I never finished Black and White, so I really haven't played through a Pokemon game since the remake of Gold and Silver.
Yeah,
I think it's the last one I actually really played.
Yeah.
So, I'm digging it. I was ready for more Pokemon, I guess.
Yeah, and, you know, it's cool that the 3DS has this Pokemon game now, and it's already, sold 4 million copies in 2 days.
And I like having the fairy type in there.
Yeah, the fairy type,
does a lot for the game, I think.
Yeah, well, it's cool to kind of add more types, because it makes it kind of hard in a good way to be able to, like, account for every type of Pokemon.
Yeah, it's gotten to the point now where you can't have a team of six Pokemon that do everything.
I think there probably is, like, a way.
Yeah, like, these are the only six Pokemon you should use.
Right, but it's nice.
And the one thing it did that works for guys like us, I guess, is there is a lot of nostalgic throwbacks to the original Red and Blue.
Yeah, and
just in the Pokemon you see, the fact that you choose the original starters.
A lot of throwbacks. Like, they have the sleeping Snorlax in there with the Pokéflute. Like, they have those three starters in there. It's all very intentional, I think. And even with the names X, Y, and it's clearly a Red-Blue thing again.
Yeah.
Right, but yeah.
So you mentioned this in your review, but you think the inevitable Z version is coming then?
Yeah, because... Like, you know, there's the one Pokemon that looks like an X, the one that looks like a Y, and then you find... There's another legendary Pokemon you find that looks like a Z. So I don't think they're going to do X and Y 2. I think they'll do...
A Z.
Which they shouldn't... There should have been... I guess it was admirable what they tried to do with Black and White 2, because I think their thinking was, we'll sell more of it if you pretend like it's an actual sequel instead of just, like, the spin-off-y one. But,
which one was the one that after you beat the game was like, now go to the continent from the last one?
That was Gold and Silver. That's why a lot of people still think Gold and Silver was the best one. Because it is, in a lot of ways, the biggest one. Because, yeah, it's huge. And I will say, even now, it's like, I'm kind of like, I'm still playing it, but it's not really a whole lot for me to do anymore. And it's kind of like sad. I'm like, eh. Just like,
yeah, well, grinding. You gotta wait for him to catch up to you, and now maybe we'll get in some multiplayer.
Yeah,
that's
true.
Stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the thing, though. I don't remember ever hitting that point in Blue.
It seemed like
I beat the Elite Four so many times.
Right? Yeah.
Just to level up Pokemon.
Yeah. Well, it was different. We were little.
I guess.
Yeah. It's hard to capture that like ridiculous excitement we had back then. All right. So there's that. What else did you play this week? I beat Far Cry Blood Dragon, which I forgot to talk about that. Another game that looks great on my console. Like, the last 15 minutes of that are so ridiculous with the 80s nostalgic.
I gotta finish that.
It's just hilarious. I was just loving it. That was a fun thing. They nailed that. I liked playing that more than regular Far Cry.
Yeah, a lot of people seem to feel that way, so they might have stumbled on something
I was like, this is freaking great. Give me more of this. Yeah, but that, like I said, a lot of Pokemon and a lot of that stuff. A lot of Battlefield, which we talked about already.
Mm-hmm. You've been playing some more console Diablo 3.
Yeah, I've been. Well, me and three friends have been playing through it, and we played at.
You pretty much only play it, all four of you, couch co-op.
Yeah, we all play it together. We kind of play it like. We always play it with our Diablo 3 drinking game, where you drink if you level up. Well, everybody drinks when somebody levels up. You drink if you die, or somebody dies, I mean. You drink if you find a legendary weapon, if you find a legendary monster, if you get the Nephilim buff. And there's a certain monsters that can
jail you,
yeah, and while you're jailed, you have to chug. It's fun. It does make it fun. You hate when we add drink games to things. You're like, why can't we just enjoy what it is? You're like, why do you have to drink? Shut up, ass guy. You don't get it. But no, it's
CM Punk be so disappointing.
Oh no, but it like I said, I like Diablo 3 a lot more. Like, not taking it seriously, we just skip through the story beats because they're all stupid.
No, yeah, no. Diablo 3 story was not good at all.
It really is. Like, even though I'm kind of getting this abridged version now, I'm like, yeah, all this stuff is stupid. There's like...
Everyone betrays you who you think is going to betray you.
Yeah. There was like one cool line that Leia has when she... Can I say things? That Diablo has when like he goes to heaven where he's like, oh, even in the high heavens, the angels will know fear or something like that. I was like, looking at my friend, I'm like, that's the one good line in this game.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's stupid, but it's like a classic Blizzard
line. Because that was like the lines you liked in Diablo 2 are just like the pithy one-liners your character threw out there. Like when you, every time...
It's like an Illidan kind of line,
I always like beating the Den of Evil in Diablo 2 to see what my character's going to say, but now they won't shut up.
Yeah, you know, maybe that is. Maybe the characters talk too much.
I think
maybe they're a little too involved in the story.
Yeah.
And maybe making Tyrael, like, too involved wasn't that good a move either, because it kind of killed his mystique a bit.
Yeah.
Like, Tyrael was so cool, too, because like, he barely showed up when he did show up. Like, oh, shit's going down. There's Tyrael. That's why it's kind of cool, like, how, like, it was... Two, it's, like, mostly you and Decker Kane, but, like, it almost kind of seemed like you were always a chapter behind the real story.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, that's how they, like, you're not they in made the, cut- the cinematics
yeah, because, yeah. like, you're not in the cutscenes, you know? But then this one also, I was like, yeah, there's Decker Kane. He's in the opening cutscene. Like, oh, that's different. And, you know, like, I don't know. They're still talking about Diablo 3, apparently.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting when the expansion comes out. There's somebody did a story, like, they announced, I think it was Kotaku, they announced the price of the Diablo 3 expansion. It was $30.
$30.
And, like, the slant on the Kotaku story is, like, how expensive that was. I'm like, what the hell are you
That's what they all cost.
Like, the only way I could buy that is, like, well, the Diablo 2 expansion had two new characters. This one has one. I'm like, oh, okay. But, I mean, there's other things.
Yeah.
I was like, how much do you expect PC expansions to cost anymore?
Yeah.
Unless, like, this guy, like, just wasn't around for that, and he's younger, and he's just used to, like,
damn kids.
Well, if you're used to DLC as opposed to like the old school expansions, or really the only people who do old school expansions anymore are Blizzard or MMO makers.
Yeah.
So I guess if that's what you're used to, you're like, what the hell, $30? I don't get that. That's 30 copies of Angry Birds. Yeah, I can't hack those kids.
Yeah.
That's what you sound like, you losers. Anything else you want to talk about? I guess we're kind of wrapping up because GameSpot's like database of new releases is still messed up, so I have no idea what's coming out.
Yeah, we might just be done with that. We had a good 300-ish episode.
We'll see if it comes back around.
I got The Wolf Among Us, the Fables game. I just haven't found time to play it. Maybe I'll play it tonight.
This is the part where somebody yells at me for not having played Walking Dead yet. It's not going to happen yet.
You own it. It's on your Steam library.
I own it.
And you have a great new computer. You should play it.
I'm sure it's not exactly a graphical showpiece.
No, but it is nice to have it running smooth.
Yeah, you know. Yeah.
I heard actually that Wolf Among Us looks good.
Well, they probably got a lot more money.
Yeah. Well, they finally realized Jurassic Park bad.
I was about to say.
Comic books good.
I was about to say, how happy do you think they are everyone forgot about that Jurassic Park thing?
Yeah, right.
That one went pretty
good. You know that saying, you're only as good as your last game, yeah. So.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's kind of
it goes both ways, I guess.
It's kind of sad, because like, nobody seems to really remember that they made very good Monkey Island and Back to the Future adventure games.
Yeah.
They don't seem to care. Those are fun.
Yeah.
All right, then, wrap it up.
Yes.
All right, then. Well, thanks for listening to the Exploding Barrel podcast, everybody. Hey, you know, it's less than a month away until a new system's out.
That's wild.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it is. It's less. Wow.
It's happening. You can find more of us at ebpodcast.com. You can also follow us on Twitter, on Facebook, or Exploding Barrel on both of those. And go to our Google Plus community. Again, search for Exploding Barrel. Join our conversations. Again, go to the iTunes Music Store and leave us a review. And we'll find you next week right here on the Exploding Barrel podcast.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Catch you all.